The following is a presentation of WrestleChat.net and the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
Da-na-na-na. Oh, you were not aware of this? Da-na-na-na. Your posterior better contact someone at once! Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you the reunited future tag team champions and best friends, the essence of mustachioed magnificence, the intellectual savior of the masses, Team Rhodes Scholars!
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you.
And Brock Lesnar unloading! Brock Lesnar! Out! To Billy Gunn!
Now Road Dogg is helpless, defenseless.
And in a fight for Road Dogg, Lesnar laying waste to the New Age Outlaws.
And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Brock Lesnar!
One cannot argue with the classics, but you know where you are. Tonight here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net, my name is Nikki Heyman, and I have a few of the usual suspects around the table, starting first with a slightly under the weather Tom Delgado.
Oh, that was my cue. Good evening, gentlemen, lady, and ponies alike.
And our man with all the numbers, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Wait, I'm actually here? Jesus Christ!
And there wasn't even a pay-per-view. Well, not one that there's not one this weekend, but there was last weekend, as attended by our fourth at the table tonight, Typho.
Hello, everybody.
Now, before we begin grilling you about the pay-per-view, Typho, I need something to be quoted. Soundman, please.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it! Woo!
No offense, Typho, but do you realize how long I've been calling Bubba joining Aces and Eights?
Quite a while.
Probably almost since Devon joined it, Statboy.
Oh my. Yeah, I would be saying, yeah, we're just missing one person. That's pretty much it. Maybe two.
But before we dig too deep into that, Typho, give us a little bit about your experience with lockdown.
Well, I was there for the whole weekend, the fan interaction, all that stuff, plus the pay-per-view itself, which I was sitting front row down in the corner next to the ramp, to the left of the ramp. So I haven't actually seen the show on TV, but I'm going to assume I was on camera plenty. When Hulk Hogan comes out during the main event, I'm right there. When the Aces and Eights all make their entrance for Lethal Lockdown, they have to run right by me. So I should have been on a lot. Of course, the show ending bottle throwing riot, I got pelted by a few coming down from somewhere, because being in the front row, it's going to happen. It also seemed to start raining beer, soda, water, popcorn, whatever it was that everybody decided to throw. One thing that stands out in my mind, though, if you saw the opening match, the X Division title match, about 2 minutes in, I thought Kenny King was dead. I was about 5 feet away from where he screwed up his moonsault off of Zima Ion's back and landed back of the head first on the rail. And then I watched as he crawled very slowly around until he eventually got up and back in the ring. But he's obviously all right. I actually saw him after the show at the hotel in the lobby walking around. I asked if he was all right. He said he was alive, and so he'll be good. Let me think. I feel like I'm missing something big during the show. Oh, the Knockouts title match when Taryn Terrell finally snaps and spears Gail Kim. For whatever reason, that guy just like a monster pop from the crowd. I said this on my show Tuesday, but it felt like when it happened after Gail Kim slapped her and you could feel it coming finally, it almost felt like in the crowd like it felt when at WrestleMania 17 when you know Linda McMahon's about to stand up out of the wheelchair. Why it felt like that, I don't know, but I was in the crowd for both, and they both felt like that. It was just that anticipation that you know it's finally come.
Which is, you know, that's pretty good. That's pretty cool. I'm glad you had a good time. And, as for the rowdy fans, that's partially TNA's fault. It's my understanding that the roof for Lethal Lockdown malfunctioned, and that's why they had to bring the weapons to the ring.
Yeah, I mean, the roof was, it was up there.
But it never came down.
I was wondering why it didn't come down, because I was sitting there with my friend that went with me. He was trying to remember the rules of Lethal Lockdown. I'm like, it's basically like War Games. Once everybody is in the cage, they lower the roof down, and it's got like weapons hanging on it. And then like once everybody got in, we're both looking up like at the roof, and it's just there. It's still in the same spot. Sting like brought weapons out with him. Like, man, I guess they're not gonna lower the roof. And then I assume maybe it wasn't the roof, and it was like just a lighting rig or something.
No,
I was pretty sure it was the roof.
No, it's the lockdown curse. That something always goes wrong at lockdown.
At least they remembered the cage this time.
I was going to mention that. And the fact that they only do one match in the cage now. They don't do the entire pay-per-view in the cage, correct?
Right. They did the top three matches were in the cage.
Okay. So
and I've got from Fan Interaction, they had like a separate session for Hulk and Brooke Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
That I made the stupid decision of after the second session going back to my car to unload a bunch of my stuff, because I had like each table, you know, they had their own 8x10s and stuff, and I had my program with me and I was just stuffing them in there. I'm like, I'm going to go unload these before I tip my program up and they could go everywhere, because I saw about 10 people do that. So once I started walking down, there's nobody really around. The line was just starting. When I get back, the line is wrapped around the lobby, and basically I was somewhere near the end of it. And once the line started, about 3 hours and 15 minutes later, I got to the stage.
Oh, at least they didn't cut you off, but it was probably a full-blown cattle drive at that point.
I mean, it went over the time limit they had set, but I actually saw, we were wrapped around, and I could see, like, the security telling him, I could see Hogan saying that he wanted to finish the line.
Okay, no, points for that. I gotta give him points for that. Some of the other news that comes out from this, obviously with Bubba now the high muckamuck of Aces and Eights, and is now also the TNA World Champion, as I understand.
Correct.
Good on him. I think he deserves it. We know he's been a good worker, you know, for going on 20 years now. He had a brief opportunity in WWE, which he just had the unfortunate timing of having to deal with an evil doc. So,
but Mr. Bully Ray, now TNA World Heavyweight Champion and the president of Aces and Eights.
And banging Brooke Hogan. Oh, wait.
And I say it's a great thing because, I mean, face Bully Ray to me, just it didn't work.
No, I think he likes being heel more.
Oh, yeah, and he's good at it. Look at the end of Lockdown.
and all the garbage got thrown in the ring, yeah.
Him and D-Von and D'Lo Brown were, like, the main people just egging everybody on to keep stuff coming.
Mm-mm-mm.
And now, I've got, like, I will say also, with the fan interaction set up and how they do it and everything, and we were just, the event that day happened, like, in the hotel that everybody, they were all staying at. So, the fans who were smart, such as myself and approximately 20 to 25 others, were smart enough both Saturday and Sunday night to go visit the hotel bar and kind of hang around because we knew that somebody would probably be in there, and we were right both nights. And so by somebody, I mean basically 75% of the roster that was there was in there various times. And I could tell all kinds of stories, but I wouldn't tell them on air because, I don't know, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing so maybe, but once we're not recording, if you want to hear some of them, I could probably share.
Keep the recorder going, Jim. Anyway, so some of the background stuff that's going on, it had broken over the weekend after we had already recorded the March 9th edition that Bobby Roode's contract was set to expire. And I think all weekend, every time it was brought up to me, I'm like, why isn't the doc blowing up Bobby Roode's phone? Because Snapboy, if I remember correctly, when there was another time when they were thinking about trying to take him and Cowboy James Storm and bring him over to the E.
Huh? There was. Sorry, I'm not too familiar with TNA doings because, well, I stopped following them years ago.
Don't blame you. Roode got his contract in order so that he could show up at Lockdown and work the tag match.
I have a story about that. I heard it from the man himself.
Okay.
Sunday, 1:30 a.m. he signed his new contract. 3 a.m. he was on the plane to San Antonio.
Holy crap.
That's how close it was to not getting done in time.
You heard it here first, folks.
He was not at Fan Interaction the day before because wasn't under contract still.
Exactly. Now, somebody else who was probably conspicuous by their absence was Rob Van Dam.
Yep, he was not there either.
Now, Rob has gone ahead and made a couple of comments. He's said he's been bombarded with tweets about his contract situation. He's like, dude, I plead the fifth. You know, I can't say nothing right now. I don't, you know, right now I got some ongoing business. Thank you for understanding, and I will talk about it soon. So, now I can open the table up a little bit. Tom, does WWE take a chance on Rob?
I don't see why not. I'd love to see RVD back, even if it's on a Legends contract, because let's face it, RVD is a legend, whether we want to admit it or not.
My bigger worry, Stat Boy, is Rob's recreational history, as it were.
Yeah, it's very well documented. In fact, didn't that get him more or less gone from the WWE in 07?
Well, it was one of the things that he had as a, you know, as a sticking point when it came to contract negotiations. He had mentioned to me that he just, you know, one of the he was not, you know, he wasn't happy in 07, and I'm sure it still stung. That's mm-hmm. what you get when you get busted in rural Ohio for you and Sabu having crap in your car. He probably was just sick of paying the marijuana fine. So, I don't know. I don't think they'll take a chance on him just because of the close call they've already had with Swagger. Some of the fallout from lockdown is apparently Bubba is so good at being a heel that somebody tried to jump his shit in Chicago.
Wow.
And it wasn't Frankie.
Sure.
As far as I know, it wasn't Frankie. It was not Frankie because he was there in full clown gear. And he was spit side. So, as you know, I haven't seen the video. The video is handy if anybody else here wants to take a quick look at it. But Bubba is that good of a heel, ladies and gentlemen. Good on him. So, got all that out of the way. ImpactWrestling.com. Let's see. Is was supposedly hacked by Aces and Eights. We already know how that works.
Oh, drat these computers! They're so naughty and so complex. I could pinch them.
That was a direct quote from one of the techs at ImpactWrestling.com. These are the same guys that obviously worked the voting machines for Gut Check.
Oops. And a great job that they did with that.
Precisely. Now that I've gotten all my TNA out of the way. Oh, somebody sends me an update. Oh, for crying out loud. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Let me look at this real quick. From the website itself. During Thursday's Impact Wrestling broadcast on Spike TV from Chicago, someone affiliated with the Aces and Eights gained access to our secure online network at TNA headquarters in Nashville. Tom, your mic better be up because I want to hear you laughing. Let's see. As a result, the Aces conducted a hostile takeover of our website and social media. On Friday night, our IT personnel regained control of our website. An update on our social media will be coming soon. Our security department is investigating the situation. We apologize to our fans for any inconvenience this may have caused. So, since that's right off the site, I think I know their actual source for it. I'm gonna have to do some digging real quick. Where did I see it? So,
yeah.
Mute thyself. So,
have interlopers coming into the show.
Well, I realize that the RSBS studio is across the hall, but you know he needs to mind his P's and Q's about coming in here. So yeah, the
WORK Work Radio.
It's a work.
Ta-da! So now we know what really happened at ImpactWrestling.com. So let's before I go directly into Raw, something that was going on Saturday, as I mentioned on our last show, I called in from Mobile Force. To let you guys know, I was on my way out to La Crosse, Wisconsin for a WWE SmackDown house show. Alas, the weather did not permit me the opportunity to catch up with any of the gang before they went inside. However, I did make sure, as a favor to a friend, to roundly insult Tony Chimmel, get a handshake out of him. and reassure the head of security, Sergeant Jimmy, that everything was well in control. So, card was pretty basic. We opened with Random Tag Team is Random, R-Truth and the Great Khali versus Primo and Epico. Unfortunately, this did show us just how limited Khali is, because his participation was pretty much a whole bunch of Khali chops. Not just the head chop, but the chest chop.
Wow.
Layla in a quick match over Alicia Fox, who was heel this weekend. Let's see. Ted DiBiase Jr. sighting, as he had a chance to snicker at his opponent. And does anybody want to try to pronounce this guy's name?
Let me see if I can do this. Fandango!
No, that's only the first promo. Typho, would you like a shot at it?
Alright, I'll give it a shot here. Fandango.
Not bad. Not bad. Unlike his televised appearances, he actually wrestled. And in fact, he wore the same red and black ensemble that he wore on SmackDown in his non-debut and making fun of Khali's English. He did take care of business against Ted Jr., who apparently is not ready to come back on TV. Jack Swagger and Yosemite Sam, I mean Zeb Coulter, come out. My thanks to Chris Jericho. You know, my thanks to Chris Jericho for that analogy. Which, unfortunately, whoever is writing Coulter's material really needs to get off the immigration thing. Seriously. It doesn't apply to Del Rio. And I know RSBS is down the hall, and at some point Jason's probably going to come in here and tell me to turn that crap off. Swagger was given Justin Gabriel to play with. So he twisted Gabriel's ankle around a couple of times. And to celebrate, Swagger and Coulter stood in the middle of the ring with their right hands over their heart, not necessarily reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, or at least we weren't going to sit there and listen to them do it.
We the people.
Yes, we the people. Since I did not leave my seat during the Divas match, they were nice enough to give me a match that I could go do my concessions and drink, my concessions and souvenir run. Mark Henry against Randy Orton. So it was just a matter that half of the match was Mark Henry just trying to get a solid grip on Randy Orton.
Baby oil! No!
So I went in, got myself a soda, saw that I already had the program, and checked out a photo booth that they had set up. This is new to the house shows. For $20. They've got a small booth set up where you can pose with one of the expensive belt replicas, and they will place you in a picture with the champion of your choice. I did harass the guys though, because they did not have the man ring belt. Precisely. I could either use Big Gold or the spinner, and it was a real spinner. So, I just wanted to commemorate the evening by showing everyone that CM Punk is truly a Heyman guy. Crickets. So, I get back to my seat in time to see that Mark Henry got himself disqualified, Randy RKOs him, and spends the next 5 minutes posing, to give us all a chance to breathe and to go into intermission. Back from intermission, we get a promo from Wade Barrett, who reminds us that he needed to beat up Bo Dallas who came out and obliged him. We had the Rhodes Scholars come out. And there was no discussion of the New Age Outlaws, but they did have a fine discussion over the fact that, unlike the tag team champions, they are actually friends. This led to a handshake and a couple of hugs. So we bring out Team Hell No, who argue over who is the tag team champions. We have a very solid match. I have a wonderful picture of Daniel Bryan with Cody Rhodes and the surfboard. Also with pictures of Rhodes Scholars hugging each other mid-match. We had one miscommunication, which threatened to asunder Team Hell No. And that needed to be remedied after the match, where Bryan grabs both belts and starts celebrating, running around the ring with both belts until he runs into Kane, who takes both belts from them and from him and starts celebrating as well. You know how this works. Our main event was Last Man Standing, Del Rio versus The Big Show. The Raw active poll, or the interactive poll, since this was a SmackDown show, was a strange one. They wanted us to vote on whether or not Ricardo Rodriguez would be allowed to stay at ringside. Given that he's face Typho, do you really think this one was ever in doubt?
Highly unlikely. Quota, Gorilla Monsoon.
Now, the match itself was solid. Unfortunately, their finish ended up being just slightly disastrous. They were already joking around at the fact that a tables chant had broken out. A group in my section started chanting, "We want tables, we want tables." Show looks over at us and says, "Go buy one." But sure enough, one is introduced late in the match. And in the process of it being handled, both sets of table legs were broken. Whoa! But it gets worse. They bring it into the ring anyway, and Del Rio awkwardly props it up in the corner, and they end up throwing Big Show into it, and he only catches about the bottom 3 or 4 inches of the table, so it looked bad. Whoa! Del Rio retains, per the rules of house shows, that titles do not change hands unless under extraordinary circumstances. But all in all, a fun little show, and despite a little bit of fog, I was actually home in time to see the clocks change. So, unfortunately, none of what I saw on Saturday has made it to television. I has a sad, but that just means that, you know, that just means they're saving it for other times. So, Statboy, what'd you think? Just on my recap.
I thought it was an okay time, just nothing that I would be terribly interested in. Especially Cole. Why, oh why, hasn't he retired?
I can give you 1 billion reasons why.
Yeah, soon enough they'll tire of him as well.
I know. And Typho, we were just lucky that we got our truth instead of Hornswoggle.
Very lucky. And hasn't the Cologne family jobbed to Hornswoggle enough?
Hasn't the Cologne family jobbed enough, period?
Apparently not.
So
turn Carlito into a jobber and then dump him, and now the rest of his family, they get to do the same.
Yeah. So let us move on to Monday night. We open with a touching tribute to Paul Bearer as the urn is set up in the center of the ring for The Undertaker to pay proper tribute. and the entrance is very elaborate. Undertaker comes out in that lovely barbed devil coat that he's had for the past year or so. And just as he's properly settled in for tribute, and just before his head tilts down to prayer, static. Cult of Personality. CM Punk. Who decides he needed to show up right then and there? Can we say dick move, Josh?
Oh, or dick move.
Oh, one more time, sound man. You are a dick. Thank you.
Yeah, we can certainly say that. Thank God I was worried that it was going to be much, much worse than it wound up being. I thought that opening segment was going to be Taker coming out and, oh no, it's CM Punk, and then disgracing, denigrating, and God knows what else all over Paul Bearer, kind of like what he did with Jeff Hardy a few years ago.
Or worse yet, just what he was doing to Lawler shortly after he came back. Taker, however, requires more respect. After all, we already could see the question in his eyes.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
He didn't even have to say it. He really didn't. Punk gave us a nice backhanded mention of condolences, saying that he was very sorry for Undertaker's loss. At WrestleMania! Dick. You are a dick! 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 Somebody's having way too much fun on that soundboard. Typho. Too much? Yeah. Just enough?
I think it was done pretty well. I mean, I didn't feel like they crossed any lines or anything like that. I mean, I don't even know if you can call it an angle. You have a match set for The Undertaker and CM Punk at WrestleMania, and it's not a good situation, but you've been handed this situation, which you've now used to build heat towards the match. I mean, you got to take it, I guess, because, I mean, there's nothing behind this match whatsoever before this past week.
That's true, but... And even Punk was kind of forcing it last week. But this is a nice little bit of fuel to the fire. And, you know, we talked about it on the last show that we were a little nervous that they were going to do a lot worse. But, of course, my response to this is Punk going to speak to The Undertaker about it and fists get taped.
Oh, God.
And not Punk's.
Panic!
Yeah. So we can go ahead and we can take a look at another match that does have some build, or just a minor version of it, in the fact that Lesnar was needing to respond to Triple H's challenge. So Brock decides to be just as big of a dick and kills the New Age Outlaws. So it, oh my goodness, it wasn't pretty. Or was it, Stat Boy?
It was not pretty. You are correct. I don't know what else to say, really.
Well, we could. This whole situation was actually covered in the intro with Rhodes Scholars doing their version of the New Age Outlaws, and then my dear Uncle Paul borrowing a bit of their catchphrase. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, so Mr. Delgado, are you in the vicinity of my voice? He's not back yet. Typho, put your booking hat on for a second. This match is going to happen, but my Uncle Paul said that there will be a stipulation, but he's not going to tell the doc until the stipulation is in place, or until the doc accepts. Any thoughts on what the stip might be?
Well, with the situation in which it is going to potentially be named, you would have to assume that it's going to be something that would favor Brock Lesnar. And when you kind of stretch your mind out a bit, you can probably come to the conclusion it would be something along the lines of possibly a submission match or something with MMA type rules, where obviously Brock Lesnar could thrive and Triple H could not, but I don't know, it could just be something like a street fight for all I know.
Statboy, I've read a couple of things, and I'm pretty sure WrestleChat.net, our dear sponsors, have covered. They've thrown around the idea of an MMA match, but I don't think that's such a good idea.
Yeah, not at all, especially with how old Taker is. He's damn near 50 at this point.
Statboy, keep up with us. We're talking about...
Oh.
Triple H Lesnar.
Oh, fuck. Sorry. Please edit that out.
It's been a very long night.
Keep it in, Jim.
But yeah, I still don't know if that's such a good idea. Mainly because Brock still... Isn't he still suffering from that whole gastroenteritis or whatever the hell he had that cost him... Yeah, diverticulitis. There we go. That cost him those last two MMA matches or UFC matches. I would not do it just because of that. You could seriously hinder his money-making skills if you do anything like that.
My thought, and just off the wonderful and inadvertent blade job, I can't even call it a blade job, but the hard way that Lesnar had the other week, can we get a first blood match on this card in the PG era?
Nope.
Darn it.
Well, yeah, but the match ends when Triple H gets a paper cut.
Well, we had some other good news during the show. You know, oh my God, Dolph Ziggler won a match. he wrestled Daniel Bryan and actually won. And in fact, he actually beat Kane on SmackDown. Granted, there was a lot of shenanigans involved, but he won matches.
Who would creative had the week off?
Seriously. Somebody not paying attention? Did somebody sneak that in? Because there's no way otherwise this would have happened.
Somebody's napping.
Oh, yeah!
What?
What? Once more with feeling, soundboard.
Oh, yeah!
Hey, I'll take it. Let's see. Also, our Jobber of the Week award. I know we don't do this very often, but Jobber of the Week award goes to Drew McIntyre, since Heath Slater apparently was not available. As poor Drew was stuck between a Mark and a Ryback. Where'd everybody go?
I don't know.
Okay. How hard did they kill Drew on Monday, Statboy?
I unfortunately was not able to watch because I had to work.
Shame.
Yes.
Typho, were you home in time to see Drew McIntyre get murdered? And I am lacking a typho. Tom, are you back yet?
And now we're dead. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
No. I'll make it very simple. There should have been music playing in the background during this segment. Essentially, anything you can kill, I can kill harder. No, you can't. Yeah, I can. No, you can't. Yeah, I can. No, you can't. Feed me more! So this little collision course was set up for Friday, which didn't happen. But there's probably a better reason for that. Typho, are you back? Ooh, you do not sound good.
Wow, it sounds like Typho might have been a little bit mauled by robots today.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, praise be to Yavin.
Actually, this is a good time for him to show up. What do you got, Stab? Yeah.
I've got nothing, except for now I have a new television. Woo!
The GM, let's see, the GM's note is... somebody loaned me $200 for the limited edition 434 days of Punk plaque being sold on WWEshop.com. Can't get blood from a stone, GM. Yeah, so talk about returns, talk about movies, and talk about Dark Helmet? No. Helmets, okay, got it. Okay, and while we're doing this, we will get that all together, but Soundman, go get me some commercials while we get the rest of this audio fixed. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network, online, on demand, and on the go. Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
Hey, this is ECW Original, the Blue Meanie, the Blue Guy, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in, or else...
are back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Tom Delgado, Stat Boy Josh Henniger, and Typho. We did some kicking of the computers, and the first thing that came up was the Bellas. Stat Boy, your wiener in law, those wiener in laws got those girls their jobs back.
I blame you.
All your fault.
Why do you hate me so, Nikki?
You brought up wiener in laws a few weeks ago. Either get him a Kleenex or a mop.
Gonna need a canoe.
You're gonna short out the equipment. No wonder we were having trouble. Typho, guess what? We just got two more warm bodies for the Divas division. Did anybody care?
No, but I just slipped on Stat Boy's tears.
Oh, jeez. Are you okay?
No. My back.
Typho.
So well, that brings a total of two warm bodies in the Divas division now.
Sadly. And I noticed that they had to get matching boobs. I mean, to continue the setup of twin magic, I understood one of them had hers done and the other one hadn't, so I'm guessing that was probably part of the contract. That was the emotional reaction of our sound man at the thought of Bellas with big boobs. So apparently somebody is finally, I don't want to say paying attention, but decided that they needed to do something with their Divas department. So per our fine sponsors, WrestleChat.net, there was some discussion of a quote-unquote Divas search out in Los Angeles and in several other places. Several recruits were taken a look at, including Olivia Karpinski, a print and commercial model, a fitness coach, although she didn't make it through camp. Natalie Eva Marie, an actress and model. Amy Fogelman, Josanne Offerman, Mesa Kui, Jen Stenger, CJ Perry.
Whoa. That's Jen Sturger. She's actually fairly well known in the sports world. Because if you remember the Brett Favre sending a picture of his package to someone, that would be the someone.
Well, in that case, I think they've already just, in that case, she's already disqualified. You are a dick. No, I'm not. Brett Favre apparently was, though, and he proved it.
Yo.
So we've got the Bellas back. Yay. There's talk that that WWE has been trying to get in touch with Kelly and Maryse. To that I say no and yes. Typho, would either of those two help?
Well, I mean, they would help because anything would be better than the nothing that they're doing with the division now, but and would they overly make any difference to anything? No, because, I mean, what more could either of them do that they hadn't already done? And there's nothing new they're going to do. There's no new great feuds for them because everyone else that's there sucks. And, I mean, not like they're going to light the world on fire themselves anyway.
So, Tom, your thoughts on this?
But they still trudge the Divas out during Raw?
And sometimes on SmackDown.
I mean, wow. That just shows how out of the loop I'm pretending to be right now. I don't care either way with the Divas. I mean, they could help, but it's going to still be the same old stuff. I'm not interested.
Okay. Let me see if I can make you guys interested. Going rumor that a trademark tied into the Divas division has been renewed. Huh? Karma.
Yes.
What's that?
I'm listening.
If her trademark is renewed, I'm hoping that Ms. Kong's phone is ringing. And I know that anybody who would like to see her back would be very happy to see her back. I just want her back to kill the Divas division.
So do I.
More than it's already dead.
But see, that's the fun of it. You have...
Please!
It'd be a mercy killing. And her and Natalia could both stick around because they could wrestle the guys. I think Tamina could, too. But we'll see. But it sounds like somebody finally remembered they had a Divas division and is starting to bring girls back. Although, personally, in the case of the Bellas, I think that was more their boyfriends decided to say, hey, can we just kind of bring them with us? I blame you, Stat Boy. And I will continue to blame you.
Please don't start crying again, because I don't want to slip on your tears.
Well, let's see. I'll get him to stop crying, and I'm gonna try not to piss you guys off. But this is something that has been pointed out by a Mr. Mike Johnson, courtesy of PWI. He'd written an article regarding some of the big names that they're using to sell this WrestleMania. So, okay. You know, this pay-per-view is being sold on Cena Rock 2, Undertaker Punk, Lesnar Triple H. Because the six-man with the Shield versus currently Sheamus, Orton, and Ryback isn't going to draw Joe Q casual fan, Tom.
No, it won't, because, well, it's not one of the three major main events. It's just the upper card guys, like the former main eventers and Sheamus, Orton, and a main eventer to be in Ryback.
Versus three main eventers to be in the Shield.
Yeah, and that is really not much on the line other than, lol, we're the Shield and we're going to kill everyone.
And to that, Stat Boy, we don't even think that match is actually set in stone because of the Mark Henry situation.
Exactly. Because right now, if you have that match go as is, what the hell are you going to do with Mark? I mean, seriously, Mark has to do something. Why not put him in there with a match with Ryback and then have Show just get jettisoned in?
I'm sure WrestleMania is a big catering night. He'll be busy.
No, that's Zack Ryder's forte, and you know it. Woo, woo, woo.
So, with that, it's been pointed out over the next 5 televised events, because stuff for SmackDown... Segments will be taped, but there won't be a formal SmackDown because they usually do that as kind of a big WrestleMania preview show, despite the fact that the pre-show for WrestleMania 29 is going to be an hour long. No, it's going to be 3 hours thanks to that SmackDown.
Because we need to see The Rock Cena highlight package 537 times during that weekend.
Well, that's the only way you're going to get to see Cena and Rock on a regular basis. Quick side note, Cena was not on Raw this past Monday, but showed up for a dark match showing off his new merch, where we discovered that WWE Shop is completely out of ideas. Look, John Cena's t-shirt. Look, it was navy blue and with yellow lettering. Invert colors. Look, brand new t-shirt. Fail. So, that out of the way. This Monday in Pittsburgh, we'll get Cena, we'll get Taker, we'll get Punk and Lesnar, but no Rock. Tuesday in Cincy, no Cena, no Taker. No Cena, Undertaker will be there, Punk will be there, Lesnar will be there, Rock will be... Oh, I'm sorry, none of these guys are going to be there, sorry. March 25th in Philadelphia, Rock, Cena, and Punk will be there, but no Lesnar and no Undertaker. March 26th, SmackDown in Hershey, Pennsylvania, Rock will be there, but not Cena, not Taker, not Punk, not Lesnar. And then the Go Home Raw, Rock, Cena, Punk, Undertaker, and Lesnar will all be there. I know I didn't say anything about the Evil Doc, but since he is, you know, he has also a bunch of backstage duties, it would take him just a couple of minutes to go grab a microphone and head out there and talk to us. Even if he only had one thing to say.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Bingo. So, with all this wonderful nostalgia, this is actually a pretty telling thing. The way Mike Johnson talks about it, though, is that the fact that they are leaning on a lot of these older names to, you know, get the door open, since, you know, Undertaker's been around forever, Hunter's been around forever. Lesnar is a part-timer. Hunter's also a part-timer. The only full-time guys we've got is Punk and Cena. Because Rock's not going to be full-time, Stat Boy.
Yeah, no way, no how. Though I heard originally, wasn't he actually signed up for Extreme Rules at one point?
I think he still is, but that doesn't mean he's going to stay past that. You know, there's still too many movies to shoot.
I would not be surprised then if at Mania, Law Cena wins, Rock goes for rematch, Rock loses, Rock goes away pretty much for good.
Now, Lesnar's got a 2-year deal, Typho, but it's kind of a Legends deal. He's probably only got X or Y number of dates that he has to worry about.
Right. I mean, I had this conversation last weekend while I was in San Antonio with somebody. I'll tell you who after I tell the story, but basically this guy said, and I agree, and probably most people agree, is one of the main problems that they have, especially very obvious this year, but I mean, it's happened recently as well, but they're building WrestleMania mainly around part-time guys who, other than this time of year, are not going to be around. So you're using your biggest show of the year, you're not establishing anybody new, you're leaning on guys who have a name from the past, but they're not going to be there to build up your September, October pay-per-views. They're not going to be around in the summer. I mean, so what are you accomplishing, really? You're talking about a show, WrestleMania, that people are going to buy no matter who's on it because of what it is. I mean, you could use one of these guys, maybe, and build a big match around, but you don't need to build your entire upper card of the pay-per-view around these part-time guys that aren't going to be around. And the guy that I had this conversation with last Saturday in San Antonio was Jeff Hardy.
Was he lucid?
No.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, but yeah, this is something they've got to, you know, they've really got to take a look at, that these part-timers and names, while our nice little stopgap and might get a few Joe Q casual fans to come in. Tom, what does that say about the rest of the guys who are working their ass off 300 days a year? Tom, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm just coughing up a lung. I think it basically says you're not going to move up. You're not going to get your opportunity, at least not right now. Although this is really the biggest time we build stars, and they're just not doing that. I don't know why they're not.
It's showing they don't have faith in anybody else except for these same guys that they're going to trot out over and over and over again.
And the problem is, they're going to get older. They're going to want to leave. And once they leave, you're going to have a big old power vacuum just come in. And, yeah, they're going to have nothing in about 5 years' time if they keep this up.
And just look at the guys that they should be trying to build. I mean, every single week for the last several months on TV, your two mid-card champions, Wade Barrett and Antonio Cesaro, are doing nothing but losing to upper-card guys. I mean, nothing. That's all they do. Every week.
Yeah.
Whether it's Sheamus, whether it's Ryback, whether it's Cena, they're just losing week after week after week. I mean, how does that make them look?
And, you know, as you said, let me find the quote here, because there was a really good quote on here. One day the bottom is going to fall out. We are going to hit a date where Undertaker's streak is ended by Father Time, where Lesnar decides he's going to go back into Minnesota farming seclusion, where The Rock feels jumping on board a new sequel franchise will be more important than beating up John Cena, where age and injuries catch up with Cena, Punk, and yes, even Triple H. Because, yeah, you're right. 10 years down the road, a lot of the guys that are slogging it out 300 days a year are not going to be people we can reach back and get. Because nobody's going to know who they are. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of people are going to care. So, they need to, you know, I appreciate and understand that they want to make some money and they're going to drag some guys out of the closet. Fine. But you need to put some trust in the guys who have been busting their asses for the sake of television. I already said my piece about the fact that Punk has been pretty much thrown out of the main event picture because of The Rock, because of Cena, because of, you know, this whole nonsense. They were looking to push Jack Swagger, and then he fucked it all up. Del Rio is still not seen at the level of a John Cena, and he's their other A-belt champion. Big Show ain't getting any younger. Kane ain't getting any younger. Something's got to be done. And yeah, it's going to turn into, this is going to turn into WWF 95 if they don't start putting, you know, if they don't start actually getting some guys moving.
And they might legitimately have to give Diesel a title run at this point.
No!
No.
Won't work.
So you just look, if you look farther down the card, even you'll see the problem. I mean, it's happened forever, but just perfect recent example. At the Royal Rumble, Bo Dallas debuts last 20 minutes, beats Wade Barrett on TV. Where the hell has he been the last 2 months? Nowhere, because they haven't used him, because, well, they just kind of gave up on that quickly. But in a few more weeks, he's going to pop up on TV again. They're going to act like he's important for a week or two. When nobody reacts to him because he hasn't been seen in months, they're going to say, well, he's not over, take him back off TV. When it's your fault that he's not over because you don't consistently get behind anybody.
You're absolutely right, Typho. I mean, Ziggler should be a huge, hot commodity right now. And all of our minds are blown that he actually won matches this week. He hasn't won matches in months, and now he's finally actually starting to win. I'm worried that momentum is going to carry him into Mania, where he's going to cash in and fail, because they won't give him the ball. And when he by the time he does get the ball, nobody's going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more of the, you know, they've put most of the machine, you know, they've put a lot of the machine behind Sheamus, but they're not consistent with him either. And Sheamus is buds with the evil doc. What does that tell you? So it's just, you know, the booking needs to be straightened out, and I'm kind of hoping the Shield storyline is going to be part of the solution.
Yeah, but this might actually be the chance, if the WWE keeps going like it is, that TNA needs. The door that TNA needs to blow this thing wide open, and we have a new Wars. The only question is Dixie smart enough to pull it off? Sources say no.
It's not so much as...
Some right moves have been made lately, so...
Lately.
Dixie may not be smart enough, but can Hogan keep his ego in check long enough...
Yeah.
...to let it happen?
Because, yeah, if I remember right, the wild rumors from last year's, or earlier this year's, that he wants to be champion by the time the year's through.
No.
Again. And I hate to, and I love to say this, but dude, you're 60. Give it up.
He can't. He doesn't know how. He does not know how.
I got one more run in me, brother.
Yeah, your last run should have ended. The last run should have ended in 2000.
You don't understand, brother. This is Hulkamania we're talking about, brother. Oh, brother, brother, brother.
Me and Warrior can do one more pay-per-view, brother.
God help us.
You had better be folked, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, so while we're at that, as of this broadcast, I believe today is the Iron Sheik's birthday, so I'm going to step back and let everybody do their best cheeky.
Blow you all out of the water before you even try.
You go have fun now.
Let's hear it, Tom.
I'm looking for a reasonable tweet.
Good.
Okay. For my birthday, get your dog trained at insert guy here. I bit your ass, make you humble. I respect the Nick White. Hear the Tim Shiki.
Fat bastard? Is that you?
Oh no, I'm sorry. I have to do this. I have to do this. From 9 hours ago. One of many tweets from 9 hours ago. The real Roseanne for my birthday. You beat the fuck out of the Ultimate Warrior and Chris Brown mom and the JR BBQ commentator. I'll be happy.
You know the fat bastard. Fat bastard not half a half. I love him forever.
Ugh. I had to ask.
You ask a question, Sheiky baby give you answer number one.
Yeah, I think we just got canceled.
There's a reason why we have graphic language mentioned at the beginning of the show.
Graphic language!
Yes, there we go, sound.
Character voice, so it's okay to say it in a character voice. That's, yeah, and never mind.
No, just, we already know what the closing soundbite is for tonight.
Yes.
I don't mean to crib from Matthew, but we will have to close on that. But I do still have a couple other things to talk about. We were joking on the fact that The Rock, you know, once he's done playing wrestler for a little while, that he's going to go back and, you know, get back into movies. Well, as you know, WWE has been having way too much fun promoting movies, and in fact, they even got further in on the act when they twisted Halle Berry's arm to come on and talk about The Call.
I almost skipped past this segment, but my DVR was nice enough to show me a picture of Kane with a cell phone. Now I worry. They played the segment again on SmackDown. I don't remember if they played it on Main Event. Statboy, have you seen this?
Nope.
Oh, shame on you.
Work sucks.
Shame on you. You need to see this. Tom, have you seen it?
I do not have access to Raw, so...
They played it on SmackDown.
I don't have access to SmackDown either.
No. What the hell are you doing on my show?
I don't.
Typho, save me!
Yes, I've seen it.
Okay. Kane is creepy stalker. I should have had Brian on the show so I could make a Jennifer Love Hewitt joke. I think I heard something in the background. I mean, it was cute. I mean, it was definitely nice to see something other than a movie trailer 15,000 times. Unfortunately, these aren't going away. Well, somebody mentioned to me that WWE Films actually wants to do a sequel to 12 Rounds.
Oh.
The good news is John Cena is not going to be starring.
Yay.
The bad news is, who is his replacement?
Baby,
sound...
No.
Thank you.
No. Hell no.
Oh, I know that's going to keep most of us out of here. Yeah, he'll go. There you go, Typho. He'll go to the papers with this new movie if he has to. I don't know. I'm just worried that if he's going to do an action thriller like that, they better be careful where he's standing when the explosions go off.
And we killed him.
Crickets. Dagnabbit. Anywho. Well, then I ask that when the DVD comes out of 12 Rounds Reloaded, that we get to see the disc promoted under Dean Ambrose's boot.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Someone who's not with WWE, but this is still relevant, our dear boy Batista has been given a movie role.
Oh ho.
He will be playing Drax in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Whoa.
Movie that is being produced. He will wield a weapon that looks like a basketball and a yo-yo string. Oh, wait.
Ow.
Sorry, Statboy. Don't ban me.
I'll ban you so hard, you jerk.
Don't ban me. I got friends of the pony threads. Don't make me sit clash on you. Actually, that's even better. I see. Meanwhile, our sound man remains mute and is playing the sound effects under protest. Ah, there we go. No. Actually, no, that's a better line. Jim, stay muted. I'll accept that. Batista got his movie role thanks to the Game Genie. which I thought he had given to somebody else in the WWE for the infinite title shots, but it actually works for movie roles. No, I'm sorry, this is a variant of the Konami code. So, but that's okay. Dave's going to be in a movie. You've been warned. So, hey, Stat Boy, I've got numbers for you.
Ooh, numbers. Numbers.
Royal Rumble buy rates.
Uh-huh.
They pretty.
Ooh, how pretty.
Almost 500,000 buys.
Nice.
Over 300,000 of those buys were domestic.
Yes. So, yeah.
Pretty, pretty numbers for the Stat Boy.
Pretty nice.
Down, boy, down.
I'll let him research the exact numbers, and he'll be a happy Stat Boy.
Happy.
I'll ban you.
No, you won't. Don't you dare ban me, Stat Boy. I will bury you in ponies.
Oh, we'll fight you.
Well, you're not making your case.
Don't make me pony you again.
Off topic. Okay, I can't do it.
I call your bluff! Anyway. Okay. Now, one last story, which is actually kind of serious. If I could be serious for a minute. There's been a safety feature added to the wrestling training facilities, courtesy of the evil doc, who's not so evil. He wants his trainees intact. So he wants them to wear protection to the ring. Gods, I suck tonight. Not funny. Okay, but seriously, wrestling trainees have been requested to actually wear headgear to protect them when they're learning how to bump, because you can bounce your head off the mat repeatedly while you're still learning. I speak from experience. My first round of bumps, I went home with a concussion. So, Typho, I'd like you to weigh in on it since you are soon to be, if you're not already, learning.
Well, yeah, it's easy to do something just a little bit off and your head's gonna take a lot of punishment, but. And first off, if you're in WWE developmental, you should probably already know how to take a bump, but of course, I digress on that.
Well, okay. Stat Boy, dare I say, it's about bloody time that they did something like this.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I really have nothing else, really.
No, that's fine. It just, you know, why I think it has taken so long, and Typho, you know, Typho does have a point, you know, anybody that's in WWE developmental should already know how to bump, but if they are actually going to teach guys ground up, Typho, they need to at least have that in place.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I'm sure it'll help out if you don't know what you're doing, and I mean, it'd be good to have that so you're not just banging your head off the mat constantly.
Well, and it might also be a slight nod in the direction of something that we had discussed last week regarding Daphne and her lawsuit. the news, the update didn't come out until after our podcast was recorded. She settled, guys. This isn't going to court.
Mm-hmm.
She settled, but her medical bills are paid and then some, so I'm happy. But I know that made some wrestling muckamucks sweat.
Yeah. Because wasn't there a few other lawsuits roaming around the last few years about the whole independent contractors thing?
Well, Mike Sanders, Raven, and... Canyon tried to do it, but their lawsuit came too late. Theirs was dismissed on statute of limitations. Daphne had taken a better direction by going workman's comp and challenging the notion that she was an independent contractor, since she had to go through TNA to get other bookings, and the fact that they didn't want her to show up on anybody else's video. That doesn't sound very independent contractor to me. Ditto for anybody who works for the Fed. Mm-hmm. So there was a chance, just a small chance, that this would have gone in front of a judge who was going to make that ruling. And if he had said that she's right, that these wrestlers were employees, Dixie and Vince would have shit their pants, because then they would be forced to supply genuine benefits. Dixie would have probably shit a little harder. Vince would have been frustrated because he knows that if he actually has to go through an insurance company, it's going to cost him 10 times as much as then just paying it out of pocket.
In short, it would cost him millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
And while that would be a boon to the industry and give these guys some much-needed security, it's not going to happen yet. But good on Daphne. Her bills are paid, and she's got a little bit. She's got a little bit extra in her pocket to, you know, get herself, you know, keep going, because she is pretty much retired from the ring.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Fro. What fro? I don't have the Seidelman hair.
And I don't see what I'm supposed to be looking at. That's okay. But yeah, I'm good for her.
Anyway.
I don't know what you're talking about, Stat Boy. I'm sorry.
All right. Anyway, guys.
I think we've gotten through everything that we were going to talk about. So.
Yeah.
Before we call it a night, Tom, if you're still alive, do you have anything to promote?
Just that I, contrary to what you might have heard, actually have a Twitter account. I've told you many times, there are many fake Tom Delgados out there, but only follow the real one at Real Tom Delgado.
Difo, do you have anything to promote?
There'll be, of course, Tuesday Night Typho, which occurs every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Central. You can follow me on Twitter at Tuesday Night Typho. That would be TUES Night Typho. And if you plan on watching Lockdown anytime soon, watch for me in the front row over there, and you'll probably see me several times.
Before and after he gets doused with various beverages.
Correct.
Stat Boy, what do you have anything to promote?
Not really, except for Freakin' Awesome Network, which myself and Typho moderate. Teehee!
And you're not going to ban me.
Oh, I can do it in just two clicks.
I'd rather you didn't. I don't have anything. Well, I have two things to promote. First of all, you can listen to this fine podcast and many other podcasts that are available through CLW83 on Stitcher, a wonderful internet radio app that you can download to your phone, whether it is iPhone or Android. I have had very few, if no, problems with it. In fact, it woke me up when it told me that there was a new pope. And while the pope was making his speech, Ziegler tried to cash in and failed. The other thing I'm going to promote is something coming that's going to be happening here in Minneapolis on March 23rd. It's an event called The Last Effin' Show. This is the retirement show for Jerry Lynn. And if you'll give me a second, I am still trying to find the frickin' card, which I had quoted to somebody earlier. Anyway, if anybody is up in the Minneapolis area, bell time is 6 p.m. Confirmed to appear, of course, Jerry Lynn, but Luke Hawks, Adam Pearce, Tommy Dreamer, Sabu, The Blue Meanie, Rhino, Perry Saturn, Al Snow, Scott Summers, and Eric Cannon, among many others. And now that RVD's out of his contract, maybe he could find it in the goodness of his heart to come on up. I will be attending the event myself. I was hoping to actually participate, but looks like I'm going to be rooting, shooting, taking pictures. Which is good enough for me. So, I think I'm going to call this a podcast, however big of a mess that it is. So, for Tom Delgado, for Stat Boy Josh Henniger, for Typho, my name is Nikki Heyman. You have been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. So thank you, and come see us next week.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLWA3 Network. Tune in